Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stay Up Podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm author of the book Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. And with me on the line, I'm excited to have Teacher. How are you?
Yeah, I'm a little tired.
You're a little tired? Do you have a busy weekend?
Oh, yeah. Well, usually when I'm up doing my thing, it's like I get up at about 3 o'clock in the morning and go out for a couple hours and then come back and sleep for a few. And then actually today I'm up working doing something else, so I didn't quite get my normal sleep.
Well, I appreciate you being able to take a little bit of time to talk with me this morning about your work and what's going on, and so folks can learn a little bit more about you. So I'm thankful for the time, and hopefully it'll be well invested here. So if you could the name Teacher, right away, it just sort of strikes with me as a professor and teacher, something I've done my whole life. Can you tell me a little bit about the name and how it came about? I think folks would find that interesting.
I actually got started doing street art because I had twins, and at the time they were making cuts in the education budget, and so I wanted to put an image out there that brought attention to education. And so the first image I did was from a picture I took of my daughter when she was 6 months old, and then across the top it just says teach. And so I started putting that image out, and then when I actually got in contact with Melrose and Fairfax, it's a street art blog, the guy asked me, well, you know, what do you want me to credit your work to? And I hadn't even thought of the name up until then, and so I just figured, well, teach, how about teacher, you know? To me, actually, all street artists are teachers, because if you're putting an image out there and people are getting something from it, you know, in some sense, you're teaching them something. So I didn't want a fancy name or anything like that, and that's kind of how it came out.
That's cool. I mean, were you a product of the public school education system yourself?
I've done some teaching. I've taught some art classes, and I also did some tutoring at a juvenile prison in Florida. It was kind of like a boys' school, like 14 to 18-year-olds. It was connected to a prison, and they would have monitors, you know, they would bring them to the classes. And so a friend of mine worked there and asked if I wanted to do some tutoring one-on-one, you know, English, math, science, social studies, all that stuff for the kids that were wanting to try to, you know, make something alive, study for the SAT. So I would work with them one-on-one. But other than that, it was mostly art classes, summer camps and stuff like that.
That's cool. I mean, what's your background then in the arts? Did you study art in college, or, you know, you have a passion for it, so I'm curious where it started.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was drawing back, like, when I was, like, 4 years old, started drawing pretty good. And then in high school, I had a very pretty art teacher, and she, you know, encouraged me to maybe try going to art school, and I didn't realize that was a possibility, so I really obsessed on my artwork and ended up going to Ringling School of Art and Design in Sarasota, Florida. Home of the Newlyweds and Nearly Dead, but it was a good place to go to art school. I got a very good basic foundation of color, design, composition, and never really... I did some illustration stuff. I did commissioned portraits for many years for some celebrities and some very rich people, and I thought once I started doing those, it was just going to start, you know, getting more and more like that. But that's when I found out that those types of people, you know, they're not going to help you out. They want to have things that no one else can get. So then I started going into gallery work. And then when I, you know, wanted to address the education issue, those, the type of people I want to reach just don't go to galleries. So that's why I got into street art.
I see. What was the transition that brought you to California? Did you move right from Florida to California?
Oh, my God. No, I've lived all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Like Kansas City. I tried to get into Hallmark, actually, for a little while. Luckily, that didn't work out. I was in Chicago for a couple of summers. I was in Nashville, in Phoenix, Arizona. And then finally, about 13 years ago, I came out to California because I had a lot of friends out here. I wanted to come out and play two-man beach volleyball and be a pro volleyball player.
But yeah.
That's when I realized that I wasn't that good. You know, I was playing in Florida, and I was pretty good in Florida, you know. And then I came out to California and just realized, oh, you know, I'm not that good. But I love playing it, I still play. But so originally, you know, I came out here to play volleyball and to, you know, hang out and have a good time because of the weather. You know, when I first came out here, saw the weather out here, it's just like, man, this is great. In Florida, where I'm from, in Destin, Florida, it is so hot and humid, especially, you know, in the summertime, it's hard to, when I was trying to meet girls and stuff, like if I get, I use my hands when I'm using my hands right now as I'm talking to you, you can't see them, but I'd work up a sweat just talking to a girl, much like you forget about dancing on the, you know, going on the dance floor, come back and just, you know, drown it in sweat. So, once I got out here, I just realized, man, I could, you know, be a much more pleasant and easygoing person just because of the climate.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I lived in Florida for 2 years. I taught, or I ran an art center down in Naples, Florida. So I know Ringling well because a lot of our students would want to go there. But, I mean, it's tropical heat. It's really humid, so you sweat like crazy. It's
oppressive.
But you've been on – what's that?
It's oppressive, dude. You walk out your door, and I'm not exaggerating, within 5 or 6 seconds you're sweating.
That's so true. So you've been all around the place, and so and looking at street art here in Los Angeles and kind of things that you've seen. I mean, is there a difference between what's happening here and other cities, or what you've noticed, or just the art scene in general?
Well, there's a lot more street art here. There's some good galleries as well, but I'm just more in tune to the street art at this point. And it's funny because unless you really know to look for it, you don't see it as much. Sometimes you'll see some things that you just can't miss. But, you know, once you start looking for it, it is everywhere here, especially in the Melrose, Fairfax area, but then just all over the place. You know, I get the free walls in downtown and then down in Venice, all the free walls that they have there, and then all the electrical boxes all over town, most of those that are at the street corners, you know, anywhere they have lights, they have these electrical boxes at the corner, and they're just all hit up with street art and everything. And most of the other towns that I've been to, other than New York and Chicago, you got a good amount there, but my hometown, there's just nothing.
It's few and far between as you get sort of the more remote cities as well. So I know what you mean, that this is great. So do you have some favorites or some things that some artists that you like to follow, or do you not keep up with things like that?
Well, you know what? I realize that different street artists have different messages that they're putting out there, and I have respect for anyone who is brave enough to get out there and hit some of these spots that we hit. But I guess I have more of an appreciation for people that put good messages out there. Free Humanity is always trying to put some good, you know, nice, thoughtful words out there and images and stuff like that. And let's see. There's... the names are escaping me. The images are in my head. I'm very good at, like, remembering images. But when it comes to names, Look. There's another street artist that's kind of new out here in Chicago. But his name, Look, is just, the guy is just basically wanting to get people to look at street art, which is great. So, the Sprouts crew, he's got L2B, Life's Too Boring. You know, you got all these big crews out there with their names and stuff. But these guys, you know, they try to put nice messages out there. And, so I have an appreciation for that. I have, you know, respect for these guys that you know, do the big murals and stuff like that. But, it's sometimes a little sticker in the right place at the right time can make more of a difference than any of this other stuff. So,
I know exactly what you mean. So, I mean, thinking about, those positive messages, because I understand what you're saying, it does change your day, or it changes your perspective on that particular moment when you see something like that, and it causes you to think. Have you had some good reactions from folks that have seen your work?
Yeah, the other night when we did the book signing, that was really cool to have other street artists getting to meet them, seeing the faces behind the images, and then, you know, having them tell me that they, you know, they appreciate what I'm doing out there. And my wife is very supportive, and even my parents are supportive, even though I got arrested, you know, doing some of the stuff that I've done. A lot of friends and family are very supportive. So that really helps too. You know, when you got encouragement and support, it's amazing what you can do.
Oh, I agree. I think support groups are essential for anything, especially when you're in a creative field like this that ebbs and flows back and forth. You mentioned the arrest. That was just over a year ago, correct?
That was actually almost a year ago.
Almost a year ago?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and what happened?
Yeah, I was I'd made a stencil for these little signs that you see in the streets that are right before a meeting. They're just a blank square sign that's turned up on its corners, perfect for putting a little image in. So I made a special stencil that said, "Teach Each Child." And I was going down Sunset Boulevard and Sunset Plaza, hitting some signs, and a security guard saw me and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And so I just walked away. Little did I know, he was an ex-sheriff deputy or whatever, and had the cops on speed dial. And so I didn't know he called the cops. So I walked on down Sunset Boulevard, and I was at House of Blues. And there's a marquee out in front that has the days of the week and the bands. And so I figured out a couple of days before that I could switch letters around and make it say Free School and Teach. So I hopped up there and did all that, and then hopped down. And as soon as I took the picture of it, two cop cars pulled up head-to-head right next to me on the street, hopped out with the guns and everything. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, I'm just having fun, man. He's like, well, you know, where's your partner? What's going on? And I'm like, look, take it easy, guys. Hey, you know, I'm not going to run. I'm too old. I'm almost 44 years old now. They were a little bit smaller guys, so I understand. I'm kind of bigger, and I'm like, I don't know. It was kind of funny because they cuffed and stuffed me, and they took me back down to Sunset Plaza for the security guard to ID me. And then when the guard showed them one of the signs that I had done, you know, it was just funny to see their posture and everything, like their heads cocked to the side, and they came back over and like, so what? Why are you doing this? And I said, well, do you agree with me that the cuts that they're making in the education budget are, you know, ridiculous? And they're like, yeah. Like, well, you know, I'm just trying to get a message out there. And, you know, they're like, well, why don't you just do something like on YouTube or something like that? I'm like, dude, you know, a lot of people aren't going to see that. People see the stuff on the streets. And and then they're like, well, don't you have a lookout or something?
Oh my gosh.
I roll alone. I don't want to get anyone else in trouble if I get in trouble or anything. And I was like, so are you guys going to actually take me in? And they're like, yeah, you're going to the house tonight. And I was just like, for putting this message out on the street, you're going to take me in. I'm the criminal here. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I feel so protected in this city. And then I made sure that, you know, most of the pieces that I do, especially if I'm hidden signs like that, that it's actually easily able to be cleaned up. And they were actually trying to charge me with a felony, and anything over $400, when you have to, if it costs more than $400 to clean up what you've done, it's a felony. And they're trying to say they needed to replace the signs and stuff. And luckily, I was walking by the next day, and my wife came and bailed me out of jail that morning, and I was walking the dog the next day, walked right by and saw the guy from the graffiti control system cleaning the sign, and all it was squirt, squirt, squirt from a bottle of probably lacquer thinner or something, and he wiped the sign, and like 5 or 6 seconds, literally, it took him to clean the sign. It was cleaner than it was before. So I told my lawyer about it. He goes, go take a picture. Take a picture, send it to me, date it and everything. And that's kind of one of the things that helped save me, because, you know, the lawyer was like, no, you know, these are pictures from, you know, the day after. And, you know, so it was zero restitution. There was zero. And, you know, the House of Blues, I just moved some letters around. So luckily I wasn't caught up on a billboard like I've been up so many of them. I figured I would get caught on a billboard eventually. I had a no-fear policy for a while there. I was just going to keep going until I got caught. And I just,
right.
I could not believe how many billboards I made it up and never got caught. I didn't have a crew or anything. It was just me. I'd roll up to a billboard with my ladder I got from Home Depot, and climb right up, and just, one time I was on Sunset Boulevard, there was a taxi parked on right under the billboard, and with all the pacing I was going to be doing, I'm sure it would have gotten on his car, so I asked him, I said, look, I'm going to be doing some work up here, would you mind moving? Oh, yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah.
And during that time that I was up on the billboard, this was a big piece, put several 6-foot by 8-foot posters up and did some hand lettering, and I was up there about 45 minutes, and right on Sunset Boulevard. And I saw a couple of cops drive by and nothing.
Really?
So it amazed me that, how easily I could hit billboards. And then I ended up getting busted. Thank goodness, I didn't get busted on a billboard, because that would have been pretty much an automatic felony, come to find out. You don't think about the punishments sometimes when you're going out there and you're hitting a billboard and everything, but just so all you guys know, it's, anything over $400, and if you do anything on a billboard, that's just an automatic felony.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I imagine you get the way you describe it is you have like a fearlessness, I would imagine it grows as you, take bigger risks and you get away with it.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just, the more I went, the less, well, no, don't get me wrong. I would, if I saw a billboard that I wanted to hit, I would immediately get a stomachache because, because I know I could, as soon as I figured out, okay, I know how to get up there and hit that thing, I would get a stomachache. And then within a week or 2 weeks, I would figure out another good day or time or whatever to hit it. And then my stomachache, anytime I would think about it, would come up until I'd finally hit the billboard. And then the night that I would be, or the morning or whatever, that I'd be up on the billboard, as soon as I got up there, all that was gone. And then as soon as I'm down and then walking away and you're knowing that you're free and clear, you just get a big old grin and a relief. And but then it makes you even more brave for the next hit.
Sure. Wow. What a process to go through. It's such an emotional
I don't know if any other artist is like as sensitive as I am about it, but I've actually been over to Zimbabwe, Africa. I did an art exchange and went and met some artists and people over there. And one of the things that helps kind of drive me when I was doing all the things I was doing is I met a guy over there that was just, had really, really good personality and just really good drive to him. And I actually started this idea of setting up and working on paintings. It actually started in the Pentagon. I've been in the Pentagon 7 times. Just the idea was just working on a painting to give people something else to focus on. So they would get to see me go from a blank canvas to a finished painting within a week. I'd be there from like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And by the second day, people would bring me coffee and donuts and thanking me for being there. And that started going to military bases. That spread to going to police departments and city halls and stuff like that. And then so I went over to Zimbabwe and actually set up in a hospital over there. And the day before I did that, I actually met this guy, Sam, and told him about it. And these people are starving over there. But this guy had a little camcorder with him. He was at some little art show I met him at, and I told him I was going to be at the hospital set up the next day. He's like, oh, I'm going to come down and film you. And I never expected this guy to show up, but sure enough, he showed up and came down and filmed me while I was there painting, interviewed some of the people there and everything. And so anytime I think about, if I have any question in my mind, if I'm, I got my ladder set up, I'm ready to go up this billboard. I don't know. I just think about this guy, Sam, and what he would say. He would just be like, man, go, go, go. Because, man, if he had the resources that I have, he'd be doing it like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that drives me as well.
Yeah, sure. I get that, and that's great. How has it changed, though, for you now in terms of putting work up on the street after having gone to, being arrested, and also these sort of new motivations that keep you strong, because obviously you haven't stopped, has it changed your perspective a bit?
Well, I'm just careful now. That's all,
okay.
Really. I make sure that if I hit a spot that it's it's a safe time to hit it, and not like before. You know, like I said, I would just it's not legal to hit these electrical boxes either. But, you know, I would just get a load of posters and a big old bucket of wallpaper paste and drive around in my truck and just, you know, paste them up like crazy, not even worrying about, you know, if there's a cop driving by or anything. And, you know, and then, like I said, hitting the billboards, just rolling up and doing my thing. Well, I haven't hit any billboards, and mainly because I realized that most of the time the piece doesn't stay on the billboard that long. And, you know, so not that many people see it. So I've been trying to put my pieces in places that last longer and that people still see. So I came up with making actually a wood sign that attaches to signs, like a stop sign or a no parking sign or something like that. It just attaches right on the top of the screw. And so those ride forever. And, of course, people see them because they always have to check the no parking sign. You know, it's... you know, you don't have to be a vandal to reach people in the streets.
Sure. Yeah, that brings up notions of success. You know, the idea is to have it ride for as long as possible to get the message out to as many people as you can. And if that's really what it's about, then you adapt for how long you can get it up there. Because you're one person, and the longer it rides, the better. Well, that's cool.
Well, I tried different strategies too. Like some pieces, if you hide them too well, then you know they'll ride forever, but not very many people will see them. So I try to do kind of both. I try to do pieces that people will see that may not last that long, but then also do pieces that will just ride, you know, as long as possible. You know, and then try to get the word out that, you know, where it is, and then, you know, people will go looking for it at some point.
Yeah. Well, for someone who has worked primarily in the street, I mean, what's your impression of the gallery scene with street art galleries or street artists that sort of move back and forth between the two? Is that something you're interested in?
I've never really been in a gallery. Like I said, I did commission paintings for a long time. But, you know, I believe that street artists actually deserve more recognition than studio artists, because they're willing to get out there and risk their rights and their lives putting their artwork up. And artwork, you know, it's good to have, you know, good color design and a message to it, but there's also a lot of artwork has to do with the story behind the artist. So, you know, a lot of gallery artists, they do incredible work. But, you know, as far as, you know, reaching people or accomplishing what it is that they're trying to accomplish, who knows, you know, what's actually happening. But, you know, as far as street artists going into galleries, my work that I do doesn't really, I mean, it mostly has to do with education and stuff. So I've had some pieces in galleries, but it just doesn't do well. You know, it's not like decorative or whatever, like some of the other street artist stuff is. So I don't, it doesn't really bother me. I've got my studio art and stuff that, you know, I still do commission paintings occasionally. So, you know, the street artists that are just going out there to try to get stuff up and then to get into gallery to sell their things, you know, don't get me wrong. I still have respect for them for getting up in the streets and stuff. But if your aim is to just get into a gallery and sell work, then, you know, I don't have as much respect for you.
Sure. I understand that. So where can folks go to find out more about your work or, you know, follow you and keep up on your exploits?
Well, I have, I put my street art up on Facebook. The page is Teacher. It's just Teacher on Facebook. And then my own studio work is, the website is keithbeale.net. It's KEITHBIELE.net. And that's got my studio work up there.
Fantastic. Awesome. Hey, well, I appreciate the time and the honest reflection.
I appreciate you, you know, all the efforts you're making and you know, promoting street art and taking care of us. So thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This has been a great project to work on, and it's only possible because of interviews like this, and because very much I'm an outsider just trying to learn. So I appreciate it, Keith. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, and so folks, if you're interested in future podcasts and guests, you can see us on our Facebook page as well. But until next time, well, we will talk to you later. Thanks so much.